1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Welcome to another edition of Feldis and Kale. We are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And Dan, do we have a treat today on the program?
We have the one, the only, Tom Rafiov.
Let me give him an intro that I have not been able to give him for a number of months. a true Renaissance man, author, scholar, athlete, neat dresser, swell dancer, loves kids, cats, and dogs, and remains the number one fan of Red Sox legend Eddie Papowski. In other words, it is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, Tom Rafio. There's the official greeting. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's like old times, and Senator Dan, and of course you did leave out one little thing, the doting grandfather.
Doting grandfather, I did, and I saw you dote the other day.
So you saw me doting. I was doting more than you and your grandchildren. Well, no, we're about the same. It was good.
You out-doted Ken.
That's hard. That was hard. He's got these two beautiful grandchildren, and we were at the Fisher Cats, which is one of our topics today, of course. Yeah. But it was just, you'll see this, Dan, I know your kids are young, but when all of my colleagues started to having grandchildren, some of my colleagues are a little older than me, and they would say, oh my God, it's the best thing. And of course, you nod your head and you say, yep, but until it actually happens, you don't realize how awesome it is. So the granddaughter that lives with us, Havana, actually lives with us. Is like she's attached to me at the hip. It actually makes it hard to go to work. Basically, I've set up an office at home, and I come into Concord every day, but I usually do a few emails from home, or if I have a radio gig from home, and then I come into the office, and she tugs at me not to go into the office. So that is really, really hard, but at some point, I do have to pay the bills. Ken, you understand that, and Senator, you understand that too, right?
Yeah, no doubt. The work that you do, by the way, Tom, we'll say it on air, all the work that you do, the good work you do for the community organizations, I don't know how you have all the energy, but you do incredible work and have done that for years and years and years. So thank you for all that you do for the community, for the Granite State.
Well, thank you for saying that, Dan. And I think, one of my mantras is servant leadership. And I always say, like, while the company is doing well and while I have all this energy, we're going to continue to give back. And, that ranges from helping out veterans, unfortunately, and not because of the great people at the VA, for example, but because of congressional rules. 9 times out of 10, when a veteran in oral health pain goes to the VA, he or she is rejected, again, because of congressional rules. And so we set up a network, and I get to meet some fascinating people, and our board is so good, allowing me to spend time in the community as well as invest, in the community. So that's kind of my mantra, and actually that's a nice segue into one of the things I want to talk about today is Saturday we have a walk at Delta Dental Stadium for arthritis, and probably Ken knows this because I see him occasionally walking a little slow up the stadium stairs, Dan. but 1 out of 4 adults in the United States has at least one form of doctor-diagnosed arthritis, and 1 out of 3 veterans. So, but it's one of those quiet illnesses, it's a different league than mental health, but the same thing. People don't tend to talk too much about it because it's like, okay, that's just, getting old. But if you take that statistics in New Hampshire alone, that's 211,000 adults have arthritis, which results in about 40% of them having work limitations. But here's something most people don't know. And this is why I stay involved. I'm fortunate. I have other issues, but I don't have arthritis. 3,000 children in New Hampshire have been diagnosed with arthritis, and if you've seen some of these courageous children, it's really painful, and they're trying to be kids, but they can't go to the playground. They can't you know, they can't play with their, you know, with their friends. And of course, we've all been kids. We all know what it's like when you're sort of not part of the group. So the walk on Saturday, right at Delta Dental Stadium, begins at 9, and I have we follow all the COVID guidelines. I'm having Millennium Running, you know, manage the walk events. We're not timing the walk, but we're giving out bibs. We do have the flexibility, since it's not a huge walk, to have same day registration. So anybody that wakes up Saturday morning, you can get down to the Delta Dental Stadium by about 8:30 or no later than 9:15. You can participate in this, you know, this great fundraiser. So that's another thing I got involved with. And, you know, Dan, how it gets involved. So, as you know, I run. Ken knows this.
Yep.
And so 20 years ago, there was a race around the holidays called the Jingle Bell Run for Arthritis.
Right.
So I ran that. I was out of Runlet. And still to this day, we have those runs. And so I was just approached by someone at Arthritis in Central and said, well, I see you always come to the race. Do you want to get involved with the board? And the next thing you know, I've been chairing it for like 20 years.
So yeah.
But it's the type of thing, you know, that you learn. I mean, maybe you knew this, but the fact that the 3,000 children in New Hampshire diagnosed with arthritis,
that's amazing. You never think of arthritis, you know, and kids, you know, you don't, yeah.
Exactly. That's the stunner when I do a brief announcement like prior to the race. That's what stuns people, because that number, actually, everybody of course has heard of, you know, juvenile diabetes, and that's equally devastating, and we've made some progress there too. But there are actually more children in New Hampshire with doctor diagnosed significant arthritis more than juvenile diabetes. You know, so I'm just saying, in terms of to give you sort of a benchmark.
Yeah.
And 43% of people with arthritis literally have difficult walking. One of our youth honorees two walks ago was a young boy that basically was in a wheelchair, and then through a lot of the research, you know, there's no cure, but there's a lot of new drugs and regimens. Next thing you know, I saw him a year later, you know, and he's playing, you know, soccer and baseball. So there's a point why we do all this stuff. And so my approach has been, while I'm healthy, while the company, you know, is doing well, you know, to give back, servant leadership.
Yep.
And, you know, and during the pandemic, and I'm not bragging here, but in 2020, we gave back $27 million to a combination of customers and dentists. Obviously, it was difficult to go to the dentist between roughly March 16th and May 11th, and so we did premium holidays for our customers. We paid our brokers anyway, and we gave all sorts of relief to our dentists, you know, as in grant checks, not loans, and we provided a lot of PPE, because my approach was, well, we don't want employers dropping dental benefits, because you two know this, but people tend to go to the dentist if they have dental insurance, and they tend not to go to the dentist if they don't have dental insurance. So I didn't want employers to drop dental.
Right.
And yet, if you had it, but the dentists were closed because I couldn't get PPE, personal protection equipment. So I kind of put it all together and said, let's do PPE and grants for the dentist to help them reopen, and let's give premium holidays for our customers so we can get it back together. And fast forward a year, and now people are, you know, going to dentists at or greater rate than pre-COVID. And I'm sure you two gentlemen have gone to the dentist since COVID. It's safer and more efficient than ever, right? And I used to wait a long time when I went to the dentist. Now you go in, at least, you know, they take the temperature, they whisk you in, you get your teeth cleaned, whatever your service is, and out you go, and it's, like, great and safe, and there's no documented cases anywhere across the United States where COVID was transmitted from the dental office, because obviously, think about it. I mean, dentists have been dealing with, you know, HIV and infection control since the 90s, so they're trained in this. I knew that dentists and hygienists could handle this, but I wasn't sure that people would flock back to the dentist, so I had to write a few op-eds on that. But they did. People have gone back. So please tell me you guys have gone to the dentist. Please tell me that.
Well, I have to be honest.
Oh, jeez.
This is the honest program.
If you're in the same room together, 6 feet apart, you know, give them an elbow.
Well, we got a barrier here.
Because, oh, okay.
I mean,
that's
because Sometimes we get in heated arguments, Tom, and they put this up for that reason.
That's
I'm
it.
Just kidding.
We have to be separated.
I've never seen Ken get agitated or animated, except when he does the dairy promotion read, which was quite good, Ken, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Also, when he used to call, Dan, you probably don't know this, but he used to call the Sanu basketball with the famous coach, right? And he used to go wild when someone would get a three-pointer. It was amazing. and then the other thing, and I say this in all seriousness, Kenneth was and is a great hockey announcer and had this kind of Lou Gehrig-like streak of, you know, calling all the Monarchs game until they went down the division and then they, you know, left town. But the year of the Calder Cup, which is the AHL version of the Stanley Cup, when they went all the way, not that long ago, it was exciting listening to, you know, Ken's call. So Ken, the one thing I think both of you probably agree with, and there's nothing like NHL playoff hockey because, you know, they're not messing around with fights and all games like 3-2 and like, you know, like the Caps Bruins game, right?
What a series.
And there's something, and you can Google this, but something like every game that they've played against the Caps in the playoffs since like 1998 has been decided by one goal.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. Those two teams are so evenly matched. It's unreal. And they've had their share of feistiness in this series. You know, exactly. Those two teams don't like each other.
So, and of course, they have now Chara. So, but I think we may, I don't know if we're going to win this series. The one advantage we have is, although I know Tuca, I think people always get nervous that he doesn't rise to the occasion the way Tim Thomas did back in 2011. But I think he is better than any of the sort of the two backup goalies that they've been putting out because the starter looked like he pulled a groin muscle. Danny kind of looked like Ken when Ken's going up and down the stairs.
I didn't know it was that bad.
He made that one bad. He made that one bad move. Like when Ken, sometimes Ken tries to show off to his grandchildren, Dan. So he like skips two steps, and then I saw him like stuck on the stairs trying to get up to our suite.
It's not a pretty picture that you draw, Tom Raffio. I'll tell you that. We have to take a quick break. Tom Raffio is our guest, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feldis and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local dairy farmers. Welcome back, Feldis and Kale. Great to have you with us, and also great to have Tom Raffio on the show today for the first time since Dan and I have been together doing this program. And Tom is the longtime president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and a pillar of the not only the Concord community, but the Northern New England community as well. So, Tom, it's great to have you with us. And I understand from reliable sources, and I hope these sources are reliable, you're working on a third book, I understand.
Yeah, so essentially, and this, don't worry, Senator Feltis, it will not be like Cuomo's book, nor do I have his issues. So, okay.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so essentially.
I hope you sell more than he did.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, first of all, well, if you think of it, he wrote it too early. You know, we're still, when his book came out, we were still in huge, messy middle, you know, of COVID, including, you know, probably New York was one of the worst places, right? And then he had his personal issues. So what I'm trying to convey with this third book is that the servant leadership, you know, some of the things I talked about in my first two books, one was on servant leadership co-written with Dave Collins, because there's a lot of similarities between successful sports coaches and athletes and business. And the second book was on being mindful and focused. so my approach with the third book was the reason why we were able to do this $27 million release package and really candidly operate, you know, more successfully than ever was all of the lead-up work. So if you take that sort of planning approach, we actually, you might find this hard to believe, but we actually did pandemic planning. And so we knew what we had to do if that were to occur. The only mistake we made, and it really wasn't a mistake, it was just timing. For example, we needed to get a new phone system so our customer service reps could take calls from home. So we had put that in the 2020 budget because we needed, we knew we ultimately would need that service. It's just that the system didn't come in until like mid-year. So for several months into 2020, our customer service reps had to come in on campus to take the calls. But once we got the new system, they're all taking calls from home. And of course, anybody can take a call from home. But in our business, you have to have the next available agent, and our customers want all sorts of metrics and statistics. So it really has to be a really sophisticated phone system. So we put that in, and you know, most of our customer service reps are working from home. The ones that want to come into Concord, you know, they're socially distanced at our 2 Delta building. But all of that planning and our ability to give back $27 million was based on thinking about the worst case possibility, which actually occurred. And where our buildings are located, and Dan knows this, and Ken, you probably do too, but like there are, you know, there are railroad tracks.
Yep.
Near, and you know, and there's something that very rarely do trains go by, but when they do, they also contain some of them, you know, some highly, I don't know how to put this, but deleterious materials. So if they ever blew up, you know, near our buildings, you know, we had to plan for that. And also we're on a floodplain, so we had to plan. So we did all that planning, and we knew that, you know, whether it was this type of crisis or something else, to build our reserves up. So, you know, we were able to give back $27 million. You just can't write a check, by the way, for $27 million. You have to have the money, you have to have the reserves, and you have to have the regulatory approval. So we got our board of directors to quickly meet. We had several Zooms. They approved all these relief packages, and then we got the approval with the Department of Insurance. And as you state, Ken, we're actually three states, so we had to do this and get the approvals in Vermont and Maine as well. So the whole premise of the book is that you really have to do the planning so that you're ready to thrive during a crisis. Because if you look at companies, I mean, there are some companies like Delta, and there are others, I'm not bragging here, that thrive during the pandemic. On the other end of the spectrum, some companies and industries literally fell by the wayside. And then you had the middle ground of people that sort of, you know, kept it together, but barely, and now we're trying to get it back. And of course, you know, we have, and I will be the first to say, we have the advantages. This wasn't like the restaurant industry where we, you know, where that basically shut down overnight. So, you know, so I get that. But that's the premise of the book. And unlike Cuomo, I thought, you know, let's get it published, you know, once kind of things look like, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So it'll probably come out around Labor Day, and there's a lot of real life, you know, stories in there. And for example, I had board members literally dropping off personal protection equipment to dentists, not just at their office, but when they were closed down, we actually had to go to like residential areas and, you know, drop the materials off at their home so that they could get settled when they were allowed to go back approximately on, you know, May 11th of 2020. So the book will tell that story. I've been writing it in my copious free time, Ken,
yep.
between 12 midnight and 2 a.m.
Yeah, there you go. And Tom sleeps 3 or 4 hours a night. Yeah.
But I'm learning, Dan, and you know this because you're so smart, but sleep, this is my last frontier. I was listening to a podcast, and I knew sleep was important, but it's probably even more important than you think. So I'm going to have to start going to bed earlier, which may mean that you gentlemen won't get emails from me at 11 o'clock at night confirming things. But then again, you should be in bed too.
That is true. Tom Raffio with us. He's the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, involved in a lot of charitable endeavors in northern New England. And the big walk to cure arthritis is coming up this Saturday at Delta Dental Stadium. And Millennium Running is helping to navigate that event, as they do so many races in New Hampshire.
Yeah, we were blessed. You know, John Mortimer is a good friend of mine. So what I kind of describe Millennium Running as, what we did for the dental industry, he did for the running community, and literally worked with the governor's task force on running, on developing safe COVID-19 racing guidelines. And Dan and Ken, I don't know the last time you flew on Southwest. I know nobody's been flying, but essentially, that's how the race starts. Now you're seated based on your historical time. So if you're like Dan, and you run a 20-minute 5K, you'll be bib number two. And if you're like Ken Kale and need an hourglass, that was
I'd be lined up in another state.
Right.
Exactly. But then in between, you know, people like me, I mean, candidly, I am so slow now, but I still love it. Actually, more, because there's no pressure. I used to be like age group competitive, and I was always worried about someone that, you know, with gray hair passing me or whatever. So, but it's all, I just trying to survive. But it's all seeded based on your historical time. So, and then racer number one, Dan Felt, is off. And then, you know, and then 10 seconds later, you know, racer number two, et cetera. And so there's very little passing because, and you guys know this, but if you run a 20-minute 5K, you know, someone that runs a 22-minute 5K isn't going to pass you. It's not like other sports where occasionally a 10th-place team can beat the first-place team through just a combination of events. And basically, unless a runner, you know, pulls a hamstring, I mean, if you run a 17-minute 5K, you're going to beat just about everybody. And if you run a 25-minute 5K, that's what you're going to be in the middle of the pack. And so he developed that, and so you wear a mask until you're called off, until your name is called or your number is called, and then off you go. We've actually been doing road races since June of 2020. Now, every other state, I mean, and I'm not making this stuff up. Dave McGilvery, who you guys know, and he's also a good friend of mine, and the Boston Marathon may happen in October, but he came up here several times just taking notes.
Wow.
Because until very recently, there was no road racing in Massachusetts. So his company, it's actually a great story, and he, you know, he wouldn't mind if I shared this, but his company, because there was no road racing to manage, was teetering on, you know, not being in business. And then he pivoted, and he actually managed all of the vaccination process in Massachusetts. So his company stayed afloat by sort of managing the vaccine process. There weren't any road races to manage, but there was vaccines more important. So he kind of looks at it as, in Dave's case, you know, he kept, by getting the community well through vaccination, that, you know, racing will return in Massachusetts. But in New Hampshire, we were fortunate in that we had the COVID guidelines, and so we've been running. And actually, Dan, you'd appreciate this, but people actually, they're kind of, I know we're sort of getting, we'll probably this fall go back to mass starts, but, you know, people who've never had their name called, you know, racer number 312, Ken Kale, you're off. Like people love it, you know? So it's like, and you have a timing match. All the times are legitimate. I mean, so it is possible a lower seed can, you know, get a better time than someone that runs before you. So it's all legitimate, and it's created some really interesting situations where, you know, someone, the two top finishers are literally a tenth of a second apart, but they started at different times. So it wasn't like, you know, they were finishing neck and neck and, you know, mono versus mono. So you basically, you just have to assume that you have to go all out at all. If you're interested in being, you know, a winner, you have to just go all out, because you don't know who's really beating you, depending on, you know, when they started. But anyway, so John developed all of those protocols, and it's, you know, you wear a mask right off until you go, and then you can either discard if it's one of those blue ones, or if it's a nice Delta Dental smile mask, you can put it in your pocket and off you go. And then when we finish, we provide Run New Hampshire / Delta Dental masks, so you can wear a mask when you finish.
Yep.
Now, all of this has changed, you know, with the sort of the liberalization of wearing masks is going to probably evolve. But that's basically, you know how it works. And so we kept the running community alive. So we're going to use those same protocols for the walk on Saturday. So the folks that like to walk, and we have permission to actually have on same day registration. Most of these races you have to, you know, let's say register by like Thursday for a Saturday race so we can seed you and give out the bibs. But since this isn't a huge walk, if you're listening to this and you want to donate some money and be part of the arthritis R&D research and development fundraising, just come down to Delta Dental Stadium on Saturday at 8:30, and you'll see me. And we have the medical honoree, Dr. Yost, who's a pretty famous rheumatologist from, you know, Dartmouth Hitchcock, and there's some other really, you know, cool stories. So that's what I'm doing Saturday.
And you know, we should mention Delta Dental Stadium, of course, the home of the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, as you alluded to, and they will be home this weekend, and they are playing the Portland Sea Dogs, the Red Sox affiliate.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, it's been a really good story with the Red Sox farm team and the Fisher Cats, because when I first started going to games, when Portland came in, I would say like 90% of the stadium was, you know, rooting for the Red Sox,
right.
not the Fisher Cats. But it's kind of evolved. We kind of, you know, we want to see the up and coming, you know, Red Sox players. But for the most part now, people are, you know, rooting for the Fisher Cats. And of course, and Dan knows this, but we've been blessed the last couple of years. You know, there was no baseball last year, of course, but the year before, Vladimir Guerrero.
Yep.
He's killing it now in Major League Baseball. Bichette, you know, it's been really cool. I mean, so all of these, you know, many of the Toronto Blue Jays we saw right here in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
People don't realize that that Double-A baseball, the way baseball works now, people go from Double-A to the Major Leagues. In the old days, it was like Double-A to Triple-A, but Triple-A is sometimes more like almost like a taxi squad where, you know, people that are injured go up and down for the major leagues. But many of the players in the last few years, including the Delta Dental Golden Crown winners, are now in the major leagues. How'd you like that plug? Do you think I have a future in radio?
I think you've done this a couple times.
Because we give out the most valuable player at the baseball dinner, but it has to be a player that also, you know, gives back to the community. So, you know, people like Anthony Goes and a lot of people that you've heard about in the major leagues have won that award, and we give it out at the Grand State Baseball Dinner, which we pulled off last year. It was a combination of real time and virtual. So big shout out to the Fisher Cats, and I think I'm going to spend a few minutes Sunday with Art Solomon, you know, the owner, to go over the, you know, our partnership, which has been wonderful. They also are very giving back.
Oh, they are. There's no doubt about it.
Including, for example, you know, the fact that we can use the stadium, you know, this Saturday for the walk, and then on May 30th, we're putting on a 5K for the VFW, for the Veterans of Foreign War, and Mike Ramshaw, the general manager, has a great team. So I know you guys are busy. I've talk too much, but it's great hearing from you, Senator Feltes.
That's always great to chat with you.
And if Jeremy brings back the Harlem Wizards, you know, for the basketball, I want to be on your team. And please let me play the third quarter when it's real basketball.
Yeah, well, you and I, we got a good combo there. We either one of us alley-oop to each other.
Ken, he's exaggerating a little bit, but the third quarter is real basketball, so that's where I want to be, not the fake stuff.
Not the fake stuff, only the real stuff for Tom Raffio.
Authenticity, that's part of servant leadership.
That's your middle name.
I'm glad you guys are back, I talked to Peter St. James not too long ago, so it's great, and thanks for the opportunity to chat with you guys.
Thank you, Tom, and we'll have you back.
we'll see you around the community. And Ken, if you do the walk on Saturday, I'll see you then. Take
Absolutely.
Care, guys.
Thanks for all you do.
It might take
Thanks,
me a few days to complete it, but I'll try. according to you, anyway.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tom, thanks.
See you, bye-bye.
Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental here on Feldis and Kale. He is something else. 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feldis and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. We are back by popular demand. Feldis and Kale, 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. And joining us is really the woman who fuels this show. She's she's our main sponsor. It's Amy Hall from the Granite State Dairy Promotion. Amy, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hold on. Frog in my throat. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. Drink some chocolate milk.
There you go.
And get that frog out of there.
No kidding. I got it out now. I think we're good to roll.
We were just talking to Tom Raffio. We were talking about actually Millennium Running, which I know you have a great association with as well.
We sure do. And, you know, it's funny because we, with Tom Walton, who is also associated with Northeast Delta Dental, over the winter did a small partnership with Northeast Delta Dental with a snowshoe race. And what was so great about that is, number one, our refuel team, who I cannot say enough good about, which we've all established, participated. Northeast Delta Dental obviously sponsored, and one of our local farmers, Rob Morrill, who is in Penacook, he actually
Yep, he's great.
He is wonderful. He owns a good amount of the land right there by Horseshoe Pond. So those large fields you see, if you're coming 93 north or south, coming into or out of Concord, those are his fields. So he was kind enough and gracious enough to open that up and allow the snowshoe race to occur on a dairy farm. And then, of course, we had to have chocolate milk there. So it was just a wonderful circumstance of so many vital partners and communities coming together to encompass the value and importance of local business, local farms, health, and athletics. So high five to Tom Raffio, high five to Millennium Running. It was a great day, and we certainly look forward to getting back out there and working with all of our phenomenal partners once again.
Absolutely so. And, two great companies, if you will. Of course, Northeast Delta Dental and Granite State Dairy Promotion, they just do so many things in the community. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We're very proud, and our dairy producers are very proud. And people need to remember that your dairy producers and your local farms and farmers, they're active in their communities. Community relations and supporting small business and other farmers is really high on their priority list. You know, first comes cow care. Second comes caring for the environment. Third comes family and community. And that's just who they are. That is the heart and soul of the human beings that are New Hampshire dairy farmers.
And they do so much for our community, and are just vital for our local economy. So we've talked about it, Amy, but what are the, when you're shopping at the store and you want to buy local, support our local dairy producers, our local farms, what is some of the codes and some of the other ways to make sure that you can support our local economy?
Sure. And I think this is something I'd like to continue to sort of hammer on as we go through 2021. Code 33 is a sure thing. That's the hood plant right in Concord, and fluid milk comes out of that plant. So a lot of milk coming in there is directly from a New Hampshire dairy farm. So, yeah, code 33. But if it's easier for people, let's go through the brand names, because I think that's more recognizable to people in the dairy aisle. You have Hood, of course. Market Basket, a lot of people may not know this, but Hood bottles for Market Basket. So Market Basket is also New Hampshire milk. Gorelick contains New Hampshire milk. Even Oakhurst, people might be thinking, well, Oakhurst is branded as Maine. But as we've discussed before, milk is a regional product, and it goes to plants where the fluid milk need is. So Oakhurst is a good brand. Then, of course, you have Cabot. Cabot is also a New England brand where we are just shy here in New Hampshire of half of our dairy producers belong to Agrimark, and their milk goes to Cabot. So Cabot is an excellent choice for cheese or yogurt. You know, they have some amazing dips coming out. It's wonderful. And then you have other store brands like Shaw's, like Hannaford's. Those are also other brands that you can feel confident purchasing from. And people might wonder, well, you know, we never really thought about this because it was always our impression that local milk only came in glass bottles and it only came from one specific farm. But when you think about it, all of the dairy producers in New Hampshire, you know, they don't have the capacity, they don't have the staff, they don't have the funding to be able to set up their own milk bottling plants. That's quite a process, by the way, which, you know, we can get into in another show in terms of federal milk marketing orders, USDA guidelines, numbers of pounds that have to come into a plant before you can even build it. I could go on and on. So local milk, since it is so fresh, since it is such a perishable product, your milk is local. You can feel good about that. From farm to store, it takes about 2 days for milk to reach the aisle. So because it's so fresh, because it's so wholesome, milk is local.
Yeah, I always look now for the number 33, you know, and it's easy to remember. I just think of Larry Bird, that's all. I just have to think of Larry Bird, and I think of the number 33. That's the milk code for this area, primarily the milk that comes out of the Hood plant in Concord. So, you know, Amy has brought us an awareness about looking for those numbers on the milk containers. So there you go.
Well, I'm happy to do it. And then, of course, you know, we have to give a shout out to Hood, too, who are wonderful partners to us. And our fingers are crossed that, you know, we can get the New Hampshire's own program, you know, maybe up and running again, get some gas behind it. And sort of grease the wheels of a partnership to find a processor to bottle milk that is New Hampshire so that we can turn around and, you know, give some money back to our hardworking dairy producers and allow consumers to make that choice. We're not there yet, but, you know, let's all keep our fingers crossed that, you know, eventually we can find a way to get there because we know for sure the public and consumers appreciate, value that, and would support it 100%.
Amy Hall is with us, the Executive Director of Granite State Dairy Promotion. This program, Feldus and Kale, is sponsored proudly by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. We'll be back right after these words, 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Heading down the home stretch in this edition of Feldus and Kale, joined by Amy Hall, Executive Director of the Granite State Dairy Promotion, proudly sponsoring this Feldus and Kale radio extravaganza. And, you know, Dan, you're not aware of this. I'm going to break news right now.
Breaking news.
This is the last time we're going to be talking to Amy before the ice cream trail gets underway.
No, I didn't know that. It is breaking news. So this is very, very, very important.
Because Amy is so busy, she can't join us next week. But you have a very, very good pinch hitter lined up, Amy.
I sure do. Sean Jasper, who is the current commissioner of Agriculture Markets and Food, has graciously and happily volunteered to pinch hit for me. And, you know, I can't imagine a better individual. He has worked extremely hard throughout COVID to support not only our dairy farmers, but every aspect from maple to our fruit growers to horticulture. He's done a really good job. It wasn't an easy job. Agriculture tends to be extremely short-staffed, specifically during COVID. So happy to hand it over to him. Wonderful guy, has done a lot. And I think, you know, people will really appreciate learning a little bit more, not just about dairy, but the whole of agriculture here in New Hampshire, because it's all important.
I think we'll learn a lot, but we always learn a lot from you, Amy, as well. But Sean Jasper will be with us on Feldus and Kale next week, pinch hitting for Amy Hall. So there you go. Because I know, Amy, you'll be busy in the startup of another ice cream trail, which gets underway Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, I'm just very particular about, you know, the way the organization of this works and the way it's distributed and how I organize the amounts that go to each rest area. A lot of people may think, well, what's the big deal about, you know, traveling the state and dropping off boxes? For me, you know, I'm very particular about organization. So any type of, you know, squirrel that might run across me will distract me from that organization. So, you know, this is a huge thing and people look forward to this across the state. So that is my 100% focus next week, getting that map into the hands of people who love ice cream and love local.
Absolutely. And I think that's most people.
That is,
yeah,
most people.
It is most people.
But not a lot of people, I think, and more are learning, in part based on the vast listenership of this program, Amy, but not a lot of people have the scoop on the ice cream trail. And so what would be the, you know, 30-second pitch on this ice cream trail? It's a wonderful, wonderful, you know, opportunity for people around the state to learn about the state and get to know local dairy producers and so on and so forth. So what would be the 30-second pitch?
Dan, first of all, I'm going to take up 10 seconds to say only giving me 30 seconds is a really big challenge for me. You'll learn
what
that.
What is the two-minute pitch?
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. So the New Hampshire Ice Cream Trail is a map that weaves and winds its way across the state of New Hampshire from north to south to east to west. So you can find a New Hampshire Ice Cream Trail map at every rest area in New Hampshire beginning Memorial Day weekend. The purpose and the goal is to hit all 42 ice cream shops on the map. Now, when you get to an ice cream shop that's on the map, you will present your trail. It acts as a passport, and they will give you a sticker that indicates you have visited their shop. Now, once you finish hitting all 42 shops, which is an accomplishment, I can say a lot of people have done, but not many can, it all comes back to me and you get entered into a grand prize drawing, which people can listen to right here on Feltus and Kale in October, to win a $200 gift card to Amazon and a $200 prize value basket of New Hampshire made goods and products.
Wow. That's something.
And that is something. And you noticed, Dan, that you said the drawing is going to take place here.
Right here
this program.
On Feltus and Kale. Don't miss it. But to get into it, you got to do all 42, right, Amy?
All 42. But if, you know, that's just the grand prize. Thank you, Dan. I got a little lost in my own thoughts there. Anybody who does complete and finish the entire passport, you will also get, you'll get a complimentary sweatshirt that announces that, yes, you in fact conquered the ultimate food trail here in New Hampshire.
You know, Ken, Amy, you know, there's a couple summers I, you know, try to do a lot of hiking, you know, the 48, 4,000 footer. Some people do that. I would prefer this year to do the 42 ice cream stops rather than the 48.
Me too. But you know what? It's a great learning experience too, because in, you know, making your way to the 42 stops in New Hampshire, you're going to learn a lot about the state. And I think one of the first winners, Amy, back in the early days of the ice cream trail, I think one of the first winners was from Massachusetts, if I'm not mistaken.
Can I remember that day very, very well? Yes. People do. It's not just New Hampshire residents that participate. The passports that I receive back come in from all over New England. So, you know, it's just wonderful thinking, wow, you know, this really is a big thing. We've brought people in from out of state who've traveled everywhere, and they've seen everything in our beautiful, wonderful state of New Hampshire.
No doubt about it. Well, it all begins. When is the official release of the passports?
Friday of Memorial Day weekend. So that's when they will be out. They will be available at rest areas. And, of course, every shop on the map will have their own supply. And you can reference our website, which is nhdairypromo.org, and there will be a list on our website as well.
And meanwhile, I am practicing my ice cream eating skills in advance.
Dan, you're the best, Dan. You know, we need more of you out there helping to promote ice cream, because you do it right. You do it the right way.
There you go.
Don't mess around.
Amy, we're going to miss you next week, but happy trails to you. till we meet again, and we'll look forward to that.
Absolutely. I do, too. You too, take care.
All right. Amy Hall, Executive Director, Granite State Dairy Promotion, Feldis and Kale, another one in the books here on...
In the books.
It's unbelievable how rapidly the time goes by. 1039-1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com.